For 3 weeks now, healthcare facilities in New York have been on the front lines in the distribution of hundreds of thousands of doses of the COVID-19 vaccine, which has initially been reserved for healthcare workers and nursing home patients. The process overall has gotten off to a bit of a rocky start, with Governor Andrew Cuomo announcing his displeasure this week with the pace of vaccinations, which at its current rate could mean more than a year-long wait for all New Yorkers to have access to a vaccine. For a firsthand perspective on this process, we're turning to Dr. Dennis McKenna, president and CEO of Albany Medical Center, which is serving as the vaccine hub for the Capital Region. Welcome to the show, doctor, and thanks so much for making the time.
I appreciate it. I appreciate the opportunity.
So I want to start talking about Albany Med's sort of distinction as a vaccine hub for the 8-county Capital Region. What does that responsibility from the state entail?
Well, as you know, the state took all the counties in the state and broke them up into 10 different regions. The regions mirror the regions that were used for the Economic Development Council. Mm-hmm. And so there are 8 counties in the Capital Region. If you want to go north to south, you have Warren and Washington, you have Saratoga, you have Schenectady, Rensselaer, Albany, Columbia, and Greene. It's about 1 million people. And the way in which the state decided to do this was to take those areas and call them regions or hubs. And they would have a hospital, often an academic medical center, that was put in the lead role of planning and coordinating the vaccine rollout for that region. And Albany Medical Center was designated to be that hub lead. And we learned that about a month ago, and we've been working very furiously to make sure that we have a plan in place that will do exactly what the governor wants, which is get as many people vaccinated as possible.
Does that mean you're directing, you know, what other hospitals are going to do? What sort of responsibility does this entail?
I would use the verb we're coordinating. The way in which we've organized this is we've set up what's called a regional vaccine network. If you can think about that, what that is composed of is all the hospitals in the Capital Region, add on to that all of the federally qualified health centers, add the 8 county health departments in the Capital Region, and add a couple other individuals representing either urgent cares or large primary care groups. That's our regional vaccine network. And we've been on the phone working through web calls each day for the last 3 weeks. And we speak every day. We speak for a minimum of an hour, and we speak 7 days a week. And Albany Medical Center organizes that meeting. Albany Medical Center might set the agenda. We may be the ones who are asking the status of where things are. We work to break down barriers. We help to facilitate communication. But it's less of a directive role, and it's really more of a collaborative role, and it's really more of a partnership role.
Was it a surprise when you got named the vaccination hub for the Capital Region? I mean, did you see this coming, or was it just out of the blue when the governor announced it?
We had been given a bit of a heads up about 2 weeks prior to the announcement that the medical center would play a role, a significant role, in the vaccine rollout. The exact role that we would play wasn't fully defined at the time. But when it was announced, I think like many people who were given similar roles throughout the state, we were quite proud. And we thought that this was a great opportunity for us to cooperate and collaborate with others in the region, because we all believe very strongly that, you know, the quicker we get to everyone being vaccinated, the better we can get back to life as it was before the pandemic. So we were surprised, but actually we were also encouraged by the opportunity to lead.
As we speak on Thursday afternoon, about how many vaccine doses have been delivered to the Capital Region, and what's the latest count on, I guess, the vaccines that have been administered?
So as of close of business yesterday, in the 8 counties I named in the Capital Region, 27,968 people had received the vaccine. If you want to break those numbers down a little bit, I can tell you here at Albany Medical Center, we've had 7,200 of our employees receive the vaccination. We're still vaccinating our workforce, but that currently represents about 70% of our workforce. In addition, Albany Medical Center has set up a pod, POD, which stands for a place of dispensing, and think of that as a location where vaccines are given out. And we have a pod that we have set up to help vaccinate members in the community in what's currently called Tier 1A. And as you know, as they roll out the vaccine, they're rolling them out through various tiers. Like many other hospitals in the area and now health departments in the area, we are all working on vaccinating the community members who are 1A. And down at that site where we've done that, we've actually vaccinated 12,500 people. So we've been quite busy.
So that 27,000 and change vaccinations, vets out of how many doses received so far?
The 27,968 probably represents almost all of the vaccine that we've been given.
Oh, wow.
There's essentially a rule that you have to use the vaccine that you get in the week that you get it. There's very little vaccine that's sitting around that people are not using. So they're setting up additional times in which they and days in which they want to vaccinate people. All of us in the Regional Vaccine Network have put in our request for additional vaccine next week. But generally speaking, the expectation is if you get vaccine, you use it.
Well, when are you on pace to run out at this point?
Well, what we have right now is we have at Albany Medical Center enough vaccine to handle everybody who is currently scheduled for vaccination, both either on this campus or down at our other offsite location through Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And that Monday is typically the day in which vaccine gets delivered again. So I think that safely we'll get through the weekend with enough vaccine, and then next week we'll have additional vaccine come in, and we'll continue to vaccinate from there. And that's the process that we followed for the last 3 to 4 weeks.
This week, the governor highlighted the hospitals with, you know, the highest rate of vaccine deployment and lowest rate of vaccine deployment in terms of their usage of doses. And it ranged from, you know, nearly 100%, which you are saying you guys are basically at, and to down to, you know, below 30%. What are you guys doing that makes you performing so well on this metric?
I think it starts with the message that we put out. We were very clear from the beginning that we were going to encourage all of our members of our workforce to get the vaccine. We have an incredible logistics team that put together an operation that is very efficient as far as people checking in, getting the vaccine, being monitored for a period of safety, and then discharged. And people were moving through the line very quickly. I mean, we can literally process 1,000 plus people in any given day through that line in order to get people vaccinated. So it was part of it was messaging, part of it was how efficiently we set up our locations. And there's individuals here who really took the lead role, whether it be from the pharmacy, from the medical director's office, or from logistics. It's really been a very efficient operation.
We're speaking with Dr. Dennis McKenna, president and CEO of Albany Medical Center, which is serving as the COVID-19 vaccination hub for the Capital Region, and we're discussing the distribution of the vaccine. I was speaking today to someone who got vaccinated at your pod, and they basically described it as like a 20-minute process, about 5 minutes to get checked in, and then about a 15-minute process afterwards in terms of waiting to, you know, make sure there's not any sort of adverse side effects before going about on their day. Is that about right? I mean, can you turn this around in 20 minutes with regards to the check-in and sort of the post-game show?
I can tell you from my own personal experience that both dose one and dose two that I received as an emergency medicine physician, we were among the first to get vaccinated because obviously the emergency department is a location where you want to make sure your staff is vaccinated. Both of my vaccinations, I would say, was a 20-minute process. And so, like I said before, you know, 12,500, that's the total number of doses that the medical center has given to either our employees or into the community. And the combination of those two at those two sites, I would say on average is probably 20 minutes is correct as far as how long it takes someone to get through the line.
If someone is a healthcare worker who is potentially at the front of the vaccine queue, how do you know it's your turn to get a shot? Is it on you to find out that information, or will it come from your employer or maybe even Albany Med?
It's a great question. So obviously, as an employer, Albany Medical Center took the lead role in educating all of our employees. So the communication to them, whether they be clinical or non-clinical, was to get the vaccine and the locations and the times to get it. In addition to that, other hospitals in the area have done the same thing. So when I describe the experience of Albany Medical Center vaccinating close to 70% of our employed individuals, I can tell you that if you asked St. Peter's Health Partners, if you asked Ellis Medicine, they would report similar numbers. So that's the good news. If you're not employed by a hospital, but you are a individual in that category 1A, then there's a couple different ways in which we have tried to get the word out. You have to start by asking yourself, who's in 1A? 1A includes EMS workers. So when we rolled out 1A, we obviously reached out to the EMS community through our various contacts, whether it be medical directors of EMS agencies or through the agencies themselves, and said, here are the locations where vaccines are being offered to individuals who are eligible, and here's the times. And there's a scheduling system that people can log into where they put in their name, They sign an attestation that they qualify because they're in that Category 1A, and they pick the time they want to show up. Also in that 1A category included people like medical examiners, funeral home directors, and coroners. It also included people who were members of the communities of OPWDD, so think about individuals with developmental disabilities, OMH, so people from the mental health community. They were also eligible for the vaccine. Again, an outreach to people from those communities specifically that said, if those individuals can come down to the various locations, here's the time and place, please sign up. On the other hand, if you have individuals in your communities who cannot travel, some individuals who live in facilities with disabilities who cannot travel, there were arrangements made to bring the vaccine to them.
Albany Med has called for more manpower in order to administer vaccines. What do you need help doing? Who could help? And how many people do you need?
It's a great question. So I'm so proud of this region. One of the things that we realized is there's really basically four things you need to do to give a vaccine, right? You need a space to do it. You need the actual vaccine itself. You need a computer system to record that. But then the rate limiting step, if you think about vaccinating a million people in as quick a period of time, and each person needs two shots, is the people who will actually do the vaccination. And local health departments have plans in place to do this type of work. But the local health departments have been working very hard, and they're also doing other things. They're doing contact tracing, for example. Hospitals have been very busy treating COVID patients. We don't have a lot of people available to do this type of vaccination work over the long run. So we were very quick to get these vaccine pods set up, but we realized that we would be dependent upon having volunteers from the community come forward and say they would help us end the pandemic. And so we took out newspaper ads, you may have seen those, where essentially we said these are the types of individuals who we're looking for to come forward and volunteer: doctors, nurses, physicians, assistants, dentists, pharmacists, even students in various schools, medical school, nursing school, are eligible to do vaccination. We pointed them to a couple different sites. One of them is our website that the regional vaccine network put together called CapitalRegionVax.org. That's V-A-X, CapitalRegionVax.org. And on that site, there's lists for how you could register to be a volunteer. We're encouraging people to volunteer through what's called Serve New York. That's S-E-R-V-N-Y. And that is where an individual would register with the state. They could identify which county or counties they wish to volunteer in, and then they would be part of the Medical Reserve Corps. Since we took that advertisement out in the paper no less than 1 week ago, we've had over 700 individuals who've come forward, who've gone through the registration process. And now the counties are reaching out to those individuals to find ways to pull them in to work in their vaccination pods. And I believe that we need to do more of this. I think in the weeks and months ahead, we need to swell that group of volunteers, not by the hundreds, but by the thousands. And so anybody who's interested in doing that type of volunteer work, we encourage you to go to either CapitalRegionVax.org, reach out to your county health department, or, you know, obviously, if you have any questions, we'll even take an email from you. And that's CapitalRegionVax@amc.edu.
Is it the case that if you already had this additional manpower, that you could be doing more vaccinations daily right now?
No, not yet. And the reason is because as the vaccine rollout has come out, I think that individuals like Albany Medical Center, the local health departments who have received vaccine, mm-hmm. we are going through all of the vaccine that we've been receiving within essentially the week that we've gotten it. In some cases, we may have some vaccine that we need to use for weekend clinics. But essentially speaking, we go through the week with all the vaccine we have. I think when we're going to absolutely need even more volunteers is when the amount of vaccine that we get sent to us increases as production increases and shipments increase. There's also other vaccines coming, we think, that will also receive FDA approval. So I'm going to guess that in the weeks or months ahead, the rate limiting step is going to be individuals, but first we need to get more vaccine shipped into our regions.
And after a quick break, we'll have more about the vaccine distribution in the Capital Region with Dr. Dennis McKenna, President and CEO of Albany Medical Center, which is tasked with coordinating COVID-19 vaccine distribution for its region.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by the New York State AFL-CIO, a federation of 3,000 unions fighting for working people by keeping New York State union strong. UnionStrongNY.com for more information.
We're continuing a conversation about COVID-19 vaccine distribution, and our guest is Dr. Dennis McKenna, President and CEO of Albany Medical Center, which is serving as the COVID-19 vaccination hub for the Capital Region. Before anyone ever heard of COVID-19, counties in New York already had plans on the books for implementing mass vaccinations. Governor Andrew Cuomo has obviously opted to shelve those plans for an approach where, you know, regional hospitals like yourself are taking the lead. Do you think it was a mistake to deviate from the county-crafted plans?
I don't think that what he did is shelve their plans. What I think he did is he said, I would like to take the state and break it up into 10 different regions, and I would like to have an individual hospital or entity in each area that I know I could pick up the phone, or I could have a designee pick up the phone and call. And
I'm sorry, doctor, but how is that not shelving the plans? I mean, if, say, Columbia County has a plan, they're now not using that. They're, you know, Albany Med is responsible for taking the lead, as opposed to Columbia, Greene, Schenectady, et cetera.
Right. No, I understand the question. Their plans are not being shelved. In fact, their plans are being put into place.
Okay.
Let's take Albany County, for example. I work very closely with Dr. Whalen. I know that she has a very well thought out, very comprehensive plan on how they're going to do vaccinations in Albany County. In point of fact, today in Albany County, her pod is up and running, and they're beginning the process of vaccinating. The county plans are going to be put into place, and in point of fact, they're being put into place as we speak. The difference is, I think, that they just wanted an individual hospital to coordinate all the activities. We were responsible for putting together a plan to the state. The plan to the state included the creation of a regional advisory task force and a health equity task force for the region. So in that lead role, we represent not Albany County, but eight counties. And the counties are all part of that task force, but we've supplemented that task force with business leaders, elected officials, faith leaders, chambers of commerce, other individuals from the community who could help us with the messaging. We also created a health equity task force, which took a look at the idea of vaccine hesitancy and individuals in the community who may be less likely to get the vaccine, and populated that group with people who could help us with the messaging. So it's a really important point. So allow me to make this again. The county plans that have been developed are the plans that the counties are going to roll out. We are not getting in the way of that. We're encouraging that. And what we're doing is we're figuring out ways to find best practices and share them across the region. And we're also saying if one area has more vaccine than they can use in any given week, let us help facilitate transferring that to another entity who could use it so that we don't have any wasted vaccine.
What percentage of your staff at Albany Med have declined to be vaccinated? And are there certain sectors of your workforce where this is more prevalent?
Right now, we haven't gone through a formal declination process. We have opened it up to everybody. And I know that right now, like I said, close to 70% have accepted it. When you look at polls that have been done, there's about 80% of the population in general has said that they would take the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
So we think that the number that we have on this campus will come close to that. One of the questions people ask is, why have you not made it mandatory? We have mandatory flu vaccine on this campus. It turns out that because these two vaccines have been released under what's called an emergency use authorization, you're not allowed to make it a mandatory vaccine yet. And certainly the recommendation of our Bioethics Institute was, let's not make it mandatory yet, but we're highly encouraging it. Historically, the populations that are have a higher percentage of vaccine hesitancy often are the Black community, and that is something that has been studied, and there's a higher degree of vaccine hesitancy in that community. And so as we look at what's happening in our community, we're making sure that our health equity task force will address that particular issue, so that we can encourage vaccine acceptance among everybody.
With regards to a mandate, you use the word yet a few times. Does that mean that the equation could change, say, you know, 6 months from now?
It could. The notion of vaccine mandation is something that we've taken on in the past. We mandated flu vaccine in the past because we feel very strongly that a fully vaccinated workforce is best for not only our staff, but also for our patients. Like I said, you cannot at this point make it mandatory because it's under an emergency use authorization. But I think, you know, what we'll do is this. The vaccines have been studied. They're 95% effective. They're also incredibly safe. That's been our experience here. We've had nobody so far that we've administered the vaccine to who's had adverse or untoward side effects from that. I think that probably after we have some good experience with this sometime in the fall, if the vaccine at that point has been lifted from it, from that EUA, we would revisit that through the process we have in the past, which is we'd ask our pharmacy and therapeutics committee to look at it, we'd ask our ethics department to look at it, we'd ask our medical staff to look at it, and we'd make a decision at that time.
We're speaking with Dr. Dennis McKenna, president and CEO of Albany Medical Center, which is serving as the COVID-19 vaccination hub for the Capital Region, and we're discussing the distribution of the vaccine. You made the case that the declination rate is comparable to what you might see in the general public, but are you surprised that people working in the medical field would decline to get vaccinated at rates comparable to what you might see in the general public when people, you know, aren't working in the science environment?
Yeah, I will be honest with you and tell you I am surprised. Personally, I'm surprised, although the literature out there, if you read the literature, it would suggest that actually the declination rate in the healthcare community in some ways does mirror the general public. So, you know, based on what I have read, there's nothing unique about the 20% or so that won't get it in healthcare in the Capital Region hospitals as compared to what's happening nationally. And I think some of that 20% is not a I never will. It's more of a I'll wait and see.
let's see how the person next to me does.
Correct. Yikes. But the truth of the matter is, the good news is that at this point, like I said, on this campus alone, we've had over 7,200 employees get it. Everyone is receiving, has had no adverse effects. And, you know, the hope, of course, is that in the next month or two, the number of individuals, at least who have received the vaccine, you know, who test positive for COVID will drop off significantly. Because, you know, right now the biggest struggle that hospitals are facing is that we have at Albany Medical Center sometimes between 20 and 30 people a day who are members of our workforce who test positive for COVID. It's a positivity rate that mirrors the community. We believe, based on our contact tracing, that these are individuals who are not getting COVID in the hospital, but because they're getting it at the same rate as everybody else is getting it in the community. As soon as we can get those individuals fully vaccinated, then that number should drop off significantly, which will help us from a staffing standpoint in the hospital.
The equity task force that you mentioned is obviously very important because Albany Medical Center is located right, you know, in your backyard is a large urban center. So, I mean, how are you feeling at this point about your ability to ensure that people of color who might not typically engage with healthcare professionals or be more inclined to be skeptical of vaccine actually get vaccinated?
It's a great question. I mean, I'm feeling really good about it. So our health equity task force is co-chaired by two individuals. One of those individuals is Dr. Angela Antonikowski. She's our chief officer for health equity, diversity, and inclusion. And she's a respected individual, not only within the medical center, but in the community at large. And the other co-chair is Dr. Megan Applewhite, who is our chair of our Alden March Bioethics Institute. And, you know, what they say to us is there's really three different reasons why people may decline the vaccine. They have questions about its efficacy. They have some issues related to vaccine literacy or even understanding the purpose behind vaccines and trust in healthcare in general. And each one of those domains requires a different approach. Our health equity task force has over 40 members on it, representing different racial, ethnic, faith-based, gender, disability communities. And each one of those may require a different tact as far as getting the highest percentage of vaccine acceptance. But I'm very excited about the work of the group. I know their first formal meeting is next week, and I think they've got a lot of work ahead of them, but I know they're going to do a really good job.
Governor Cuomo has said the next phase of vaccine distribution will rely on drive-in operations, field hospitals, and temporary locations in churches, housing facilities, and community centers, et cetera. When do you expect that to happen, and what role will hospitals like Albany Med play in that expansion?
There's no question that the more pods we have, the more people we can get vaccinated. Obviously, we want the vaccine to be in doctor's offices. We want it in urgent cares. We want it set up in clinics everywhere. The medical center's role as the planning lead for the regional hub is just that type of work. So if somebody says, I would like to set up a pop-up clinic in my community, or I would like to do a mobile area, how do I do that? It's going to be our job to help them figure out how they get the vaccine, how they staff such a place, and how they get that information entered into the system. But I support the concept that Governor Cuomo was talking about, accelerating getting this into the community. Certainly the more places we have doing this, the quicker we're going to get folks vaccinated.
Is there anything the state could do that it's not doing right now that would either help you build up your vaccination capacity or just help you administer vaccines quicker?
There's a couple things. You know, the scheduling system that we currently use, which is called CDMS, it's a good system, but it does have some challenges. The good news is we've gotten great response from the state when we've reached out to them about getting some of the issues related to the scheduling system fixed. So that's one area. The other thing is that in order to encourage as many people to volunteer as possible, we've got to make it easy for people to volunteer. There is training out there, for example, for EMTs to do this type of vaccination. There's training that I believe is being offered for dentists to do this type of vaccination. You know, I'm constantly reminding folks that we need to make the training adequate for the task that we're going to ask them to do, but we can't make it so cumbersome or difficult that it's going to discourage people from volunteering. So, you know, I think the one thing that I would say is anything we can do to remove barriers, to make it easy for people to become volunteers, that would help.
If I'm a, say, 33-year-old radio host living in Saratoga Springs who's generally pretty healthy, when should I expect to get my, when should he expect to get his vaccine?
Yeah, it's a great question. First thing I would say to that individual or anybody is go back to capitalregionvax.org and you'll see the various tiers. You'll see who's in 1A, who's in 1B, who's in 1C, then who's in 2. And, you know, we won't be able to move to the different tiers until we've finished as much as we can from the tier before. The individual you described is general public healthy, and that's not going to happen for a couple months. When you think about who's in 1B, you're talking about individuals over the age of 75 and essential frontline workers, so teachers, police officers, et cetera, firefighters. There's a significant number of people in that category alone. 1C will include individuals over the age of 16 with significant underlying medical conditions and individuals over the age of 65. So we have a long way to go before we get to the general public, as it were, which is why one of the admonitions we put out there is please remember that as we go through this incredible public health initiative of vaccinating as many people as possible, it's still very important for people to social distance, wear their masks, wash their hands, because there are still going to be cases of COVID out there until we have everyone fully vaccinated. So we have to still protect ourselves in other ways until we get everybody vaccinated.
Well, we've been speaking with Dr. Dennis McKenna. He is president and CEO of Albany Medical Center, which is the Capital Region's vaccine hub for distribution. Doctor, thank you so much for making the time, and good luck with this effort.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. We consider this to be incredibly important, and I'm happy to talk to you anytime you like.
You've been listening to the Capital Press Room. Our engineer in Syracuse is Dave White. My producer in Albany is Tim Williams. I'm David Lombardo. Thanks for listening.
Support for the Capital Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.
Join us again for Capital Press Room, a production of WCNY Connected, Syracuse.